So welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bava Kama on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph V'Minhanet Mishalemet. Let's go back for a moment to the previous Amud, to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah states that if, even in Reshut HaRabim, where Shein is Potter, nonetheless, the owner has to pay for what its animal benefited from eating. And then it gives the details about if it ate in the street, then it pays Hana, but if it ate from the side of the street, meaning in near the private property, then it has to pay Nezek. If it's in front of the store, then it's Hana. If it's from inside the store, then it is Nezek, and has to pay Nezek. Okay, back to our Gemara. V'chama. How much do you have to pay? In other words, you have to pay for Hana. How do you measure the Hana? How much it actually benefited, which would really be Nezek? Or it has to be less than that, so how much? Rabba Amar Deme Amir. You pay the amount of hay. In other words, if you would normally feed your animal hay, even though it ate better food that costs more, you and your animal ate one day's worth of food, you pay one day's worth of hay, or straw. Rabba Amar Deme Sorim Bezol. Rabba says if, for example, it ate barley, you'd pay barley, but you'd pay the cheapest rate of barley. So in other words, it may have eaten very fine barley. You have to pay the same sort of thing, but the cheapest kind. We'll see a braita that will explicate this. Tanya Kamateta Rabba, Tanya Kamateta Rava. We have a braita supporting each of teacher and student, Rabba and Rava. Tanya Kamateta Rabba, the braita supports Rabba, Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omar, En Mishalemet Ela, Dmei Amir Bilvad. Exactly what Rabba said. You pay for the value of straw. Tanya Kamateta Rava. We have rights to sports rub and Rashlam Mashin and 8 Kate. Achla Kabo Kamaim, if it ate a whole lot of food, Adomim Tishalim Dman. You don't say it has to pay the whole thing. That's Nezek. Allah Umdin Kama Damrotsela Achila Vemto Devarha Wila of Pishain or Ragil. We measure how much a person would be willing to spend to feed its animal something that it could eat, even though it's not normally eating. In other words, normally it won't eat barley, but he could feed it barley. So how much would a person spend on barley? In other words, the cheapest rate. The fichach, but there's an implication of that. Achlachitino devaharala ptura. That if the animal ate something that's bad for it, he's patur. Because even though the animal got fed, a person would never spend money, you couldn't even pay him, to feed his animal that stuff because it's bad for him. Okay, now we hear a little story. You were not with us in the Beit Midrash at night, presumably last night. We asked a question, or a question was asked of us, about a very interesting topic. So Amar, my Mili Malaita, Rabbi Chama says, what did I miss? What was the interesting discussion? If a person squats in somebody else's courtyard, and the owner doesn't know that he's there for a certain amount of time, does he have to pay rent for that? Now, Hechidami, we assume now Rabbi Chama turned and said, well, what was the question you were asking? If we're talking about a courtyard that's not a rental property, and a fellow who in any case wasn't going to pay rent, it wasn't like he was going to pay rent somewhere else, wherever he was going to go sleep in the park or something, all right, then it's not a question, because he didn't get any benefit, because in any case he wasn't going to pay rent, and the other fellow didn't lose anything because it wasn't a rental property. It must have been, you're going to suggest that it was a courtyard that was a rental property and a fellow who would rent. So then it obviously has to pay. Zen and Nevez a chaser. The owner lost because he could have rented it out, and this fellow gained because he didn't have to pay rent. So lo tzricha b'chatzar lo kai milagro v'gavro david l'megar. So evidently Rav Chista answered back. He says, no, the case that we're talking about was a non-rental property, but a fellow who would rent otherwise. Because this is a case of zen hane v'zelo chaser. He gained by not having to pay rent elsewhere. The other fellow didn't lose because it was not a rental property. My, so what's the din? Matzi amarle my chasartich. The tenant can say, I didn't cost you anything. O dilma matzi amarle haitanit. Or perhaps the owner can say, you got benefit. So what's the answer? So amarle matnitin hi. Rami Rachama said, guess what? It's a Mishnah. Hey matnitin, Rav Chista said, so which Mishnah is it? Amarle lechita shameshli. He said, you've got to do something, and then I'll tell you. You do something for me, some form of service. In other words, he's trying to demonstrate, some sort of superiority, whatever it is, you've got to serve me. So what happened? Shakal sudre karachle. Right? So he, took Rav Chista took Rabbi Mar Chama's turban and he folded it for him, did a minor service for him. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Muhammad then answered, Ibn Hanait, Mishalemit Mashinanait, our Mishnah, that says if the animal eats, it has to pay for what it ate. Now, evidently, Rav Chista accepted it and said, therefore, you see that you do have to pay if you lived in the property. And as a footnote to this comment, Amar Rava, who's Rav Chista's son-in-law, said, Kama lo chali v'lo margish gavr de mar esiye. This fellow did not understand how much Hashem helped him. In other words, Rabbi Rahama did not get that how much his master helped him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why? The Alpha gavr lo dami l'manit din kibla mineh, because even though his our case, the case of living in the Chatzer, is not similar to the Mishnah that he brought as a proof, nonetheless, Rabbi Rav Chista accepted it. Why is it different? He said, after all, in the case of eating the food, the animal benefited, and the other guy who had the food lost food. Whereas in the case in the courtyard, the fellow benefited from a property. In the meantime, the other fellow didn't lose anything because it's not a rental property. So you can't compare the two. And nonetheless, somehow Rav Chista bought it. So Rabbi Bar Chama, why did Rabbi Bar Chama even suggest it? His answer was, Stam Perot Rishit Rabim Afkori Mifker Lahu. That if you leave Perot out in Rishit Rabim, the assumption is it's Hefker, which means it's not a loss. You have some onions, and they went bad, and you don't have any use for onions. You put them out in the street. If you put them out in the street, that means that it's Hefker. If it's Hefker, then that means that it's really Lo Chaser. And that's why Rabbi Bar Chama thought it was a good model. Okay, but now we still have to solve the problem of Zen Nehenev Zeh Lo Chaser, whether or not you're Chayav or not. Meaning, when person A loses nothing, and person B benefits from him, does person B have to pay for the benefit? So let's see. Tanan, Amakif Chavriyam Mishal Shukotav, if a fellow surrounds another person's property on three sides, Vigadar Tavishanav Tashneir Shlishit, this is the Mishnah in Baba Batra, Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel, and the outside person, the surrounding person, put up a fence on all three sides, Eimachavinoto, the Beit Din cannot will not force, and he cannot force, the fellow living on the inside to chip in for his portion of the fence. So what do we see from there? Haravi machavinoto. The implication is that if he surrounded him on all four sides, we would obligate him. Otherwise, the Mishnah wouldn't have picked three sides. It would have said even four sides. So that means that if the outside fellow surrounds him on all four sides and he puts up a fence, the guy in the middle has to pay for the fence also. Even though the other fellow was going to put up a fence in any case. So you can see from there that when one person benefits, the guy in the middle, and the other fellow, because he was putting up the fence anyways, the guy who benefited has to pay. So we answer, Shani Hatam Da Marle Ad Karampli Akefa Yatera. There it's different, because the fellow on the outside says, your presence caused me to have to make an extra fence, so it really was Chaser. It's Zen and Nev is a Chaser, so that's why you have to pay. Alright, let's see. Toshma Amar Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi has a comment on that Mishnah, Imamad Nikaf Vigideratar V'it. This is in the Mishnah itself. If the fellow in the middle stood up and he fenced in the fourth side, Megagalim and Lavatakol, then we make him pay for his portion of the first three sides, because he demonstrates that he wants the fence. Now, Tama de Gador Nikaf, it's only because the fellow on the inside put up the fence. Hamakif Pater. The implication is that if the outside guy covered all four fences, then the inside guy is Pater. In other words, it's only because the inside guy initiated putting up the fence. So patur. So that proves to you that if you get Hana and the other guy didn't lose anything because he's going to put it up anyways, you're patur. No, shanihatam damarle the didi sagili bin tira barzuza. The inside guy will say, you know what, it was enough for me to put up a tiny little fence. You want to put up a big fancy wall, that's your business, but that doesn't give me any benefit whatsoever. So he's not really benefiting from it. Okay, toshma. Habayit v'aliyah shnaim shnaflu. You got a duplex. Really, an aliyah here is a loft, but we'll speak about it as a duplex. You have a duplex that's owned by two people, and the whole building fell. Amar bal aliyah lebal habayit. So the bal habayit, who really owns the land rights, the loft owner says to the landowner, the house owner, leave note, to rebuild the house. Vuhi narot say, he's living somewhere else, he doesn't want to rebuild the house. Right? Bal aliyah bone habayit, the loft owner can rebuild the house, v'yoshevai can live in it, until the Bal Habayit pays for all of his expenses, then he can move upstairs. But he doesn't have to move upstairs. It's Yotavu to Machayev Le Bal Habayit. So it's only he can charge him his entire expenses, and the Bal Ha'aliyah does not have to subtract from that the rental for the fact that he's living on the other fellow's land. which is a classic case of Zen Nenev Zelo Chaser, because the Baal HaBayit couldn't live there anyways, there was no house. The Baal HaLiyah is gaining benefit that he's living in this rental area. Hascharolo, so Shmamina Zen Nenev Zelo Chaser Patur. So you see Patur, it says, Shani Hatam, the Beit HaLiyah Mishtabed. That's different, because the house has a responsibility for the Aliyah. It's literally carrying it on its shoulders. And therefore, if the house crumbled, he really owes it to the guy to give him a place to live. So of course, we can't subtract the Schar Dira. Alright. Toshma, back in our original case, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Zeh Hadar B'chatzar Chavar Shalom Midato, Tzarech La'lot Lo'Sachar. Rabbi Yehuda says that if somebody lives in another fellow's courtyard without his knowing it, he has to pay him. Shma mina zen and evzalo chaser chayav. Mary, you have to pay. Shani hata mishum shachurita da ashyata. Says that's a little bit different, because when a fellow lives in somebody else's courtyard, there is use of the property which depreciates. Literally, the blackening of the walls. A fellow lives in the courtyard, it's cold, he makes a fire. The fire, the smoke, burns the walls of the house. In any case, there is depreciation of the property as a result of this guy living there. So it's zen and ev is a chaser, so you certainly have to pay. Which means, by the way, that our original question that was asked is not about Zen and Evzelo Chaser. It's really about measuring what the value of having a tenant is, as we'll see in a little bit. But in the meantime, it's not the issue, which means we still haven't solved Zen and Evzelo Chaser, nor will we solve it in this sugya. Shalchuha be Rabbi Ami. So they sent a message to Rabbi Ami's base medrash, and they asked, Amar v'chimeh sulo. So why does he have to pay? What did he do? Mechasro. What did he make him lose? Ma'iziko. What's the damage here? So Mechia Bar Abamar, his answer was Nasheva Davar. Good. We'll sit down and we'll discuss what the reason is that you'd have to pay in such a case. Hadar Shalchua Kamei Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. So then they sent the message again to Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. Amar Kulei Ha Shalchu Li Ve'Azli. He keeps sending me the same message. If we had an answer, we would send you. In other words, we were still working on it. Alright, so they still could not solve the problem. Itmar Rav Kahana Rav Yochanan. So now we have two statements in the name of Rav Yochanan from different students that are conflicting. Rav Kahana reports that Rav Yochanan said, Eino tzarich lo lo sachar. In other words, ruling like against Rabbi Yehuda, that if somebody lives in somebody else's courtyard without his knowledge, he does not have to pay. Again, a courtyard that was not a rental property. Rabbi Aval and Rabbi Yochanan, tzarich lo 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 sachar. Rabbi Aval quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying, you do have to pay. Amar Rav Papa, Hadar Rabbi Aval, lab meferush itmar lemichlal itmar. Rav Papa says that Rabbi Avahu's report of Rabbi Yochanan was not something he heard directly, but he inferred it, and he mistakenly inferred it. Did not. We have a Mishnah in Mi'ilah that says the following. Natal evan o kol rash al hekdesh. If a person took a rock or a board, meaning a building material of hekdesh, took it on his own, harezeh lomal, that's not Mi'ilah yet. Taking it is not Mi'ilah. Not Nala Chaviro, if he gave it to another fellow who Ma'al, he's already liable for Me'ilah because he's gotten the benefit of giving it as a gift. Chaviro Lomal, the other fellow, hasn't yet been guilty of Me'ilah, he didn't do anything. But let's say instead, he used this material as construction in his house. Hareze Lomal Ad Shidor Tachtea Shavapruta. There's no Me'ilah until he actually lives in it, an amount of time that will be Shavapruta worth of rent or whatever, however we estimate it. V'amar Shmuel, what was Shmuel's comment on the Mishnah? V'ushinicha piaruba, that's only if you put the material to board up a window, let's say. Meaning, you didn't build it into the house, in which case, immediately you're kona b'shinu in the Me'ilas, even before you live in it. But, you used it as, to stop, as a door or something, where you didn't make any change on it, then the only time that the kicks in, Me'ilah kicks in, is when you got Hanav living there. But what do you see from there? You see from there that, getting benefit from living somewhere, something that you owe money for, which would mean zen and evzalo chaser, you should have to pay. So naviyati Rabbi Avo kamei to Rabbi Yochanan. So this was taught in the Beis Medrash, in Bavel. Rabbi Avo was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan in Tveria, v'ka'amar mishmei Shmuel, and he quoted Shmuel, and then he said zot omer tadar b'chatzer chaver shelo midato tzrich la'lot l'sachar. What do you see from all of this? Rabbi Avahu said, this proves that if you live in somebody else's property without paying, you have to, without his knowledge, you have to pay. Rishatakle. And what happened? Rabbi Yochanan didn't respond to Rabbi Avahu. Iyu sarvin shatik modele. Rabbi Avahu thought the fact he's not responding means he agrees. And therefore he reported that Rabbi Yochanan said you have to pay. Velohi, but that's not what happened. Ashkuchi lo ashkachpe. Rabbi Yochanan simply ignored him. That's why he didn't respond. Why? Kidderaba. Why? He didn't ignore him because he didn't hear him. He ignored him because he was so wrong. De amaraba hekde shalomidat kehedyot midatami. that when you talk about dat, about awareness, awareness is just not a player in Hekdesh, because the owner of Hekdesh is Hashem, who knows everything. And therefore, there's no such thing as Shalom Midat. And therefore, comparing the case of Me'ila to our case of a courtyard would have to be compared to a courtyard where the owner knows the fellows living there. And that's not our case at all. So therefore, he just ignored him. So the Rabbi Yochanan, bottom line, said that you do not have to pay against Rabbi Yehuda's ruling. Shalach le Rabbi Abba bar Zavda lamari bar Mar. So they sent a message to Mari bar Mar. Ba'i min emir Rav Huna. Go ask Rav Huna. Rav Huna was old at the time, as you'll see. Hadar b'chatzav chayr shalom edatot shachlo l'tzchar lo. Our question. Adahachi nach nafshi Rav Huna. In the meantime, Rav Huna passed away. So they came to the house. Rav Huna was nifter. This is evidently not immediately. Amar le Rav bar Rav Huna. So his son said, Hachi amar Abba Mari. This is what my father, my master taught. Mishmei de Rav. In the name of Rav, who was his Rebbe. You don't have to pay for the rental. Now remember, this is Rav. Rabbi Yochanan in Tveria said the same thing. You don't have to pay. And then he continued and quoted Rav as saying that if you rent a house from Meruvain, you have to pay Shimon. Then our question is, Shimon, what's Shimon doing in this story? What's Reuven doing in this story for that matter? So Hachi Kamar, this is what Rav Rav Huna meant to quote his father saying. That you don't have to pay rent. However, Nimtzah Bayichel Shimon, if it turns out you rented from Reuven, it turns out to be Shimon's house, Maloschar, you pay Shimon. So Tarti, now you have a contradiction. Both statements, do you have to pay or not pay? The answer is, Hadakai Milagra, Hadalokai Milagra, it depends. If this was a rental property, you have to pay the owner. If the owner turns out to be somebody else, you don't pay the guy you contracted with and expect him to pay, you pay directly to the newfound owner. If, on the other hand, it's not a rental property, you don't have to pay. So either Rav or Rav Huna is being quoted. Same ruling, you don't have to pay. If you rent from the town council, you have to pay the balim. Again, balim avitayu. How did the owners get in here? Who are they? What it means is, if you rented a house from the town council because there was a house and they didn't know who the owners were, and then later they found out who they were, you pay them directly. So again, Tarte, you have a contradiction. Do you have to pay or not? The answer is, Hadakai Milagra, Hadalokai Milagra. If it's a rental property, you have to pay. And if we find out who the owners are, you pay them directly. If it's not a rental property, you don't have to pay. So now, without the contradictory statement, again this ruling, Mibet Midrasho Shel Rav, the three times that we've heard this, Rav Huna teaching in the name of Rav, you do not have to pay. But here's the reason. Mishum Shinamar Ushayeha Yukat Sha'ar. Right? Which, Ushaya Yukat Sha'ar. A desolate place, the gates eventually get destroyed. Meaning, desolation is not good for property. And having somebody live there is a benefit to the owner. So whereas we're looking at the benefit of the tenant, that he got hanah by living there, you forget that the owner, the absentee landlord, gets a benefit for somebody living there. And this is dvarim, things that we're aware with, masim b'chol yom, of properties that are left unattended, and then people start moving in, and people start destroying the property, and all sorts of nefarious things happen there. But as long as somebody's living there, then the property is watched and taken care of, and if something's wrong, it's seen to. Now, Amar Rav Ashi Ledi Chazili, he says, I saw such a property, umangach kitora. It looks like it's gored by an ox, meaning a totally abandoned property is really desolate. Rav Yosef Amar, he has a different explanation. Beta metva yativ. When a house is settled, then it's taken care of. So now, my binai, what's the difference between their approaches to desolation? If you use it to store wood or to store produce or something, then in Rav Yosef's reading, it's still desolate. Because what makes a place not desolate and the advantage of a tenant is there are people living there. So in our modern world, we'd say if the plumbing doesn't work, electricity doesn't work, something, gas line doesn't work, they'll get it repaired. Translate that into ancient terms. According to Rav Ashi, it's the absolute desolation that creates the problem, but if you use it as storage, then you keep an eye on it, and it'll be okay. All right. Hahu Gavra Debana Padna Kilkalta Diatmi. There was a fellow who built a fancy house on an area owned by Yatomim. They had inherited from their father, and it wasn't being used at all. So he built a house there. Agra Rav Nachman La Padna Mine. Rav Nachman seized the house and evidently gave it to the Yatomim. So we're going to say that Rav Nachman says that if you live in somebody else's property without their knowledge, you have to pay, which is against the psak that we've just developed. Right now the answer is, originally there were some other people who lived on that property. They used to pay a small pittance as a rental. And so these fellows came in, they saw the place empty, the Karmanoi weren't living there at the time, and they built a house, and I doesn't want to pay anything. Amarli Zilpay Sinu Liatmi. So Nachman first told the owner, go make up with the Atomim, figure out some sort of monthly rental fee, so that at least they can make up for their loss. V'lo Ashkach, he refused to listen to Rav Nachman. What happened? Rav Nachman L'padne Minei, so Rav Nachman sees the house. Sees the house because he tried everything else with this fellow, and the fellow really was costing the Yatomim a rental fee to which they had earlier had a regular access. Okay, the end of the Mishnah says, Ketzav Mishlam Nashenenet, and we said that if the animal's in the middle of the plaza and eats food that's there, it's Hana, but if it goes over to the side, then it's Nezek. Amarav Uvim Machazeret. Rav says this is also true if the animal is Machazeret, meaning the animal is standing in the middle of the street, and then it reaches over with its head and eats stuff off of the side, then it's called nezek. All right, it's only if the food's really out in the middle, then it's called hana. Shmuel amar afidu machazeret nami pater. He says, no, even that's pater. Well, Shmuel echem ishkach aladu v'chayv. So according to Shmuel, when are you over chayv for nezek? The answer is, because the Mishnah said, sidei rachava yuchayv. So according to Shmuel, when could that happen? If when the animal's in the middle, it reaches over and eats from there, it's still pater, and only pays hana. By the way, in this sugya, whenever we say pater, we don't mean pater legamre, we mean you only pay hanah. The answer is going to shavak to the rechava, va'azla the kamat tzidei rechava. That's if the animal actually moved over and stood on the side of the plaza where this food was and ate there. But if it reached over, then he'd say it's still pater. Some people learn this statement as an independent statement. Mechazeret, what's the din of a mechazeret? Meaning an animal that reaches over. Rav amar chayevet, shmuel amar pat ptura. Again, the same question. According to Shmuel, how would you ever pay in Sidei HaRechava, which the Mishnah presented, how would you ever pay for damages? The situation where you left the middle of the plaza and walked over and stood on the side in this private area and ate. So he challenged, the Mishnah said that if the animal ate from the front of the store, then it pays hana, right? So how could you have such a circumstance? Pshita b'machazeret. We're talking about a case of machazeret where the animal was out in the street and reached over to in front of the store and ate. V'kamer mashenen ate. Right? So this is again against Rav. So mashenen ate in mashizikalo. It only has to pay hana. So Humotimam Farakla, he answered, the Kamma Karen Zavit, that's if it's in a corner, if the front of the store is in a particular corner, then indeed you would have to pay for Hana because it's in the only for Hana because it's in Rishut Rabim. But if you went into the store itself, then you pay for Nezek. Now Ikadamri, some people read this whole differently. Machazeret Kuliamalo Pligato Chayevet. Everybody agrees that if the animal is in the public area but reaches over with its head into the private area to eat, it's chayav, meaning that Sidera Chava. Ki pligim maksama kom mirshutol rishutarabim. That Machokat Rab and Shmuel may have been, and we're gonna see it's inverted, may have been what happens when somebody who owns property abutting the public area makes a public easement available to Rishut HaRabim. So he put food out there, and then he declared this area is available to the public. That's how we should read it. When are you chayv for nezek? That's if the animal reached over into the private area and ate. But if the nizak made that place available, ptura, then the animal just pays for hana. Shmuel here says, and I told you it's inverted, that even if the fellow puts the food out and then says this is now a public area, the animal is still chayiv. Perhaps Rav and Shmuel's machloket is about what happens when you dig a pit in your own reshut and then you make that reshut public. Are you chayiv or not? Because remember, when are you chayiv for bor? Bor is reshut harabim. You go out in the public area and dig a pit, you're chayiv. You dig a pit in your backyard, you could do whatever you want. You're not chayiv. So Rav Damar Patur, so watch how this flips. Rav, who said that the animal is Patur, for going over and eating food that was in the guy's private area, but then he made public. Kesavar Borba Shuto Chayav must hold that that now becomes a public area, and therefore, if you dug a pit in your backyard, in your yard, and then made that yard public, you're Chayav, because that's called Rishut Rabim. Ushmuel Amar Chayav Kesavar Borba Shuto Pator. And Shmuel, who said that the animal is Chayav for eating in that area, must hold that that's a private area, and therefore, if you dig a pit there, and then made it public, it's still your own private area, and therefore you're Pater. Rav would say, you know what? That's not necessarily the case. I could hold that if you dig a bore in your own domain and make it public, you're still patur. It's still called Rishut HaNizak. But here, why are you patur for eating? It's not fair that you bring your perot out into what's now public access. And you're making my shor chayiv. You put fruit out in the public area, and then you want my shore to be chayiv for it. It's not right. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel could say the flip. I could say that once you dig a pit in your yard and make the yard public, that's Rishut Rabim, you're chayiv for bor. Why? Because an animal falls into a pit because it doesn't see it. It doesn't intentionally fall into a pit. And so once you made this area public easement, and there's a pit there, you're chayiv. El aperot mi'ikal amem alav adatoi, you can't say that about fruit. Fruit, the animal sees the fruit and it eats it. Then made a decision to eat it. So therefore you'd be chayav. Hachazilai. Alright, so now, leim machazeret tanoihi. Maybe the issue of machazeret, of the animal reaching over and eating it, which we saw as a machloket Rav and Shmuel in the first two versions, is a machloket tanaim, which means Rav and Shmuel are replicating a machloket, which of course is really a challenge. Because if that were the case, Rav would simply say halacha ka X and Shmuel would say halacha ka Y. The Tanya, Achla mitoch harachava, Meshalom Mashi Nehenet, our Mishnah. Sinei Rachava Meshalom Mashi Zika. That's the Mishnah. The Ramei Rabbi Yehuda. And now we're associating Ramei Rabbi Yehuda as the authors of our Mishnah. At least that line. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Elazar disagree and say, Ein darka lechol el aleich. It only eats when it's walking. So, Rabbi Yosef and Tanakama, he hasn't really disagreed. How is he disagreeing? Tanakama is Ramei Rabbi Yehuda. El machazeret ikaminayu. It must be that they're disagreeing with Machazeret. Even if it reaches over, it's still mashin nehenet. And Rabbi Yossi Savar mishal mashin zika, because that's its normal way to eat, is to reach over to walk around and eat. So it seems that machazeret itself is machloket. Lo, the chuliyah machazeret, ikarabi kishmuel. Everybody would agree machazeret is one way or the other, meaning this says nothing about that machloket. V'achav bier b'stei acher kamipalgi. They're simply disagreeing about how to interpret Bi'er B'Stei Acher. Mar Savar Bi'er B'Stei Acher V'lo B'Rishut Rabim. Ramei Rabbi Yehuda says Bi'er B'Stei Acher means private property, not public property. There's no shein in public property. Mar Savar Bi'er B'Stei Acher V'lo B'Rishut HaMazik. Bi'er B'Stei Acher, and not if I bring my fruit into the Mazik's backyard and his animal eats the fruit. B'Rishut HaMazik? That's silly. Lema Percha B'Rishuti, my boy. He said, why did you bring your fruit into my backyard? Obviously he's Potter. Ella de Ilfaro Shaikh Benai. What's the difference between Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda on one hand, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Elazar on the other hand? The issue that Ilfaro Shaikh brought up about the animal reaching over and eating out of the back saddle, the pack that the other animal has, walking in Rishut Rabim, where Ilfa said Yochayav, because that's considered like Chatzar and Izak. So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Eliezer will agree with Ilfa, and they'll say, that you are chayav, and Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda says, as long as you're in the Rishut Rabim, you're patur, even though you reached into the pack of the other animal. The reason Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Elazar says you're chayav is because they'll agree that it's the typical way of the animal when it's walking to eat. Okay, we have gotten up to the third Mishnah, Akela Agdi. We will pick this up in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.